Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
I'm excited today because I have another message which I believe is from the throne room of God. I am excited because I believe it's going to challenge us, but it's also going to grow us. And like I said last week, we prayed about targeted prayer, so I hope you've been praying targeted prayers. I actually even hear in our family amongst one another, Pauline and I are talking about targeted prayers, and we pray targeted. It's more targeted. It's not vague prayers. But today, week two, it's week two of Everyone on Mission. It's week two of our mission month, and I want to highlight another kingdom principle to us that God uses to advance His mission, and that is giving. Great, on cue. That is giving. When we give, this is my title, heaven moves through what we release. When we give, heaven moves through what we release. Father, we thank you for this word. Holy Spirit, break it open to us, into our hearts. Change us for all eternity, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When we give, heaven moves through what we release. The key word is release. When we give, we need to realize that it's not only merely a financial transaction. Giving is actually kingdom partnership. Giving is kingdom partnership. Kingdom partnership in what? In the mission of God. Giving is far more spiritual than most believers realize. And I believe that today you will be challenged, and from today you will think differently about it. You see, giving is not just about paying the church bills. Giving is not about funding an organization or keeping the lights on. Giving is not just about paying the pastors and the staff salary. Giving is about releasing kingdom resources into kingdom assignments. Got to shift our mindset. Giving into when those buckets come past, even your tithes and offerings, even the building fund, these are kingdom resources into kingdom assignments. You see, having a Pneuma East building planted in the middle of Blackburn North is not coincidental. It is part of kingdom assignment. Having JJ and Paulina and staff here paid in a position is not just to fill a role, it's part of kingdom assignment. Appointing a God-fearing senior pastor is not just so that we can have a father and mother in the Pneuma house. No, no, no. It's part of kingdom assignments. You and I are agents of kingdom assignment. Boom! That should blow your mind. You play a role in kingdom assignments. You are not just here sitting in the seat so that, oh, I just got to go to church to tick the box. No, 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 no. You are actually on kingdom assignment. You see, when God's people give, heaven moves through what you and I release. When the buckets came past, you released and put money in. You released it. Oh, let me say that again. When God's people give, heaven moves through what you and I release. You see, God is giving is not about money. Giving is actually about movement. JJ, where are you going to with this? Come with me. Let's read Philippians 4:15. Paul is here. He's busy traveling. He's moving. He's preaching, he's planting churches, and he says to the church in Philippi, he says, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. In that sentence, what Paul is doing is he's acknowledging that he would not have been able to do this. He would not have been able to travel, to move, to preach, to plant churches if the Philippians, the people in Philippi, did not share with him. The key word there is share. Share with him. What's interesting about that word share is the meaning is koinonia, which means partnership, which means to be a partaker. The Philippian church wasn't simply donating to Paul's mission. We got to hear this. They were koinonia. They were partnering with him in the mission. Are you seeing this? Their giving wasn't just a donation or, I can maybe spare 50 bucks. I'll give you 50 bucks. No. That's not what is happening. What is happening is as they give, it was participation in God's mission. Paul is saying this. Everywhere I went, you participated. You went with me. Every sermon I preached, you participated. You preached with me. Every soul saved, you participated. You helped save. Every church planted, you participated. You helped plant. So, when we give, we koinonia, we participate in God's mission. And you need to notice here that Paul never separates the messenger from the sender. We got to stop doing that. We are participators. There's no separation between the messenger and the sender. You see, in God's eyes, both are partners in the mission. The Philippians didn't simply support Paul's mission or ministry. They became shareholders. Shareholders. Every soul saved, carry their fingerprints. Every church planted, carry their fingerprints. Every miracle, carry their fingerprints. So when we give, when we as the Pneuma East family, as believers, we koinonia, we become part of every mission and every mission partner that is in this book. We, as we give this year into the mission, into the Pneuma mission, we partner, we participate in their ministry. We participate in it. And this is important to know. You and I are actually shareholders in the gospel being spread across the globe. Wow. Wow. You may never go where the gospel goes, but your giving goes. Your giving does. There's this missionary, Stephen Mpofu. He gets up at 3 a.m. every Sunday morning. He washes in cold water. He irons his clothes with coals, an iron similar to this one. What they do is they fill it with coals because they don't have electricity. This iron we actually used in Zimbabwe when we didn't have electricity. He irons his clothes, then he gets on his bicycle. He rides on a dusty, bumpy gravel road and pathways for a 2-hour journey that could maybe even end up being a 4-hour journey because he's exposed to wild animals, to lions and to leopards, to elephants. He even gets a puncture along the way every now and again, most of the time, every time, because he's on the pathway where there's thorns and whatever. It's cold, he's got the elements, he's got robbers that want to rob him. And he gets to church and preaches the gospel at 10 a.m. But as he arrives, he worships and he prays as he prepares for his congregation. I'm waiting for the slide, Eileen. Under a tree. Under a tree. He hasn't got a building. This is real. That's Dula Church of Christ in Zimbabwe, under the Makuna tree. This is a Maasai pastor in Tanzania under the Oltepe C3. You see this in Africa. But Stephen Mpofu does not have a building, but he gathers his people under the Makuna tree, and Shona is a muchacha. A tree that is regarded as sacred, a place where prayers and worship is happening. And it's under this tree, during his preaching, that God's children are fed with the word of God, that salvations happen, that churches are planted, and guess what? You weren't there. Guess what? You never bought a plane ticket. Guess what? You never rode a bicycle for 2 hours to get there. Guess what? You never preached a sermon. Yet because you gave, heaven records your participation, because heaven sees giving as koinonia. Heaven sees giving as partnership in God's mission. We've got to realize this. This is us. When we give to God's mission, our influence travels beyond our location. While we remain here, the gospel moves there. While we remain in this building, in Zimbabwe, in Tanzania, in Kenya, in Asia, the gospel is busy moving. In Europe, the gospel moves, even though we remain here in Australia. Your giving reaches places your feet never will. Another great example is right here in our own home, in our own place, up there in our kids' space. A kids' church last year did a fundraiser for Kenya. They raised the amazing amount of $2,276.90. Let's get excited about that. That's pretty amazing. These are kids. Wasn't taken up here. These are kids up there. That's about 189,712 Kenya shillings. So the money was sent to Ben and Irene. They used this money to buy textbooks for the community libraries. So far, and I read the email. Here it is. So far, he wrote, we purchased 177 brand new textbooks at total for the amount of 107,605 Kenya shillings. So there's still a balance still to spend of 912. He's a good little accountant. His accountability is good. He continues, the books purchased are new curriculum books that many of the kids in the slums can't access as they can't get them secondhand, and they are very vital to their homework. Kenya school curriculum had changed in recent years and the textbooks had all changed. Numa Church support has made a big impact and God has been glorified. Thank you so much, Numa Kids. Wow. Wow. Now, reality is our kids were not there. Our kids were not there. Actually, no one from here was there to buy the books or to give the tuition. But the giving that they gave, no matter the amount, was able to impact lives in Africa. When we give, we koinonia. We partner in God's mission. When the kids gave, they partnered. They koinonia. They partnered in God's mission. Now listen to the impact. Let me continue to read his email. Listen to the impact. The libraries are in high demand. In 2025 alone, there was 18,908 library sessions logged in two slum community libraries. Two libraries in two slum areas. They together logged nearly 19,000 sessions. He goes on and he says, 1,166 children were provided with after-school tuition in these community libraries. We are so excited to host Pastor JJ and the team later this year when they will be able to see the libraries and the impact firsthand you have made. Thank you so much. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Church, let's not miss this. These were our children. These are our children. What made their gift powerful? Wasn't the amount, it was their hearts. Their hearts, they had willing hearts. They had sacrificial hearts. They had surrendered hearts. And the lesson that you and I need to get is this. In the kingdom of God, God never measures the size of the gift. He measures the size of the surrender. He measures the size of the surrender. We forget this. We forget this in this world that we are living in this world of comparison. You see, because we compare ourselves to Johnny, who has a thriving business, and we think, oh, he is so blessed. He can give so much more than what I can. I can't afford. Really? Really? You see, God never measures the size of the gift. What God does is he watches your heart, the size of the surrender. It's that moves him. It's that moves him. Mark 12, 41 to 44 is a great example of this. Jesus is sitting down. He's watching the people put money into their offering boxes. They were rich people, putting large sums. And then verse 42, it says, and a poor widow came and put two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Verse 44, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. So my observation about Jesus' observation is this. Jesus wasn't merely watching the amounts. He was being moved by the heart. You see, both the poor and the rich gave. And that is amazing. That's amazing in itself. But us people measure value by the amount given. I mean, we're amazed that our kids were able to raise to, you know, whoa, that is amazing. I mean, but Jesus measures sacrifice. Why do I say this? Scripture says, she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. It's the depth of surrender that moves Jesus. The depth of surrender. So what we see here is that kingdom does not operate on equal giving. Kingdom operates on surrender. God never asks anybody within Scripture to give the same amount, but He asks everyone for the same heart. That is a surrendered heart. That's why with this example, two simple copper coins became the greatest gift given that day. Two simple copper coins. Two, just two. Perhaps God isn't asking how much do you have. Maybe He's asking how much of your heart belongs to me. I think that's a word for us, for each individual. That's a word for me as well. Because when a heart is fully surrendered, God can do more with little than we can do with much. You see? A little becomes much in the hands of Jesus. It's a good word. A little becomes much in the hands of Jesus. Great example, Matthew 14. Jesus has just learned about the death of John the Baptist. He's a bit touched by it. He withdraws to a quiet place. He looks again. There's crowds following him. And instead of turning them away, he's moved with compassion. He prays for the sick. He heals the sick. But as the day ends, his disciples come and say in 15 and 17, the New Living Translation, send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. Right there, freak out. Freak out moment. Total freak out. Here are all these people. We got to feed them? Hello? What are we going to feed them with? But I love John's version. John in John 6, verses 5 to 9, 11. It says this, then Jesus lifted up his eyes. He's seen a great multitude coming towards him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy food, bread, that these may eat? But this was so that he would test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Then 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And then Jesus said, make the people sit down. There's much grass to the place. So the men sat down. Take note of that. In number, 5,000. 5,000 men sat down. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Wow. Say wow. What a story. See this little bag? That's what that lunch would have looked like. And inside that little bag would have been 2 fishies. The right size, by the way. 2 of them. Inside that little bag would have been 5 loaves. 1, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5. I nearly dropped one of the little fishies. Folks, this is what was presented. Those breads were like, they were barley bread. They're called the poor man's bread. Regarded like a flat bread that we have right here. Are you seeing the magnitude of this miracle? These two little fishies wouldn't even feed the front row without God's intervention. Yet 5,000 men. They same with women and children, between 15 and 20,000. Between 15 and 20,000. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit in awe. So all of a sudden, this brings reality. All of a sudden, this brings, oh my word. They say the fish were likely small dried fish from the Sea of Galilee, about 15 centimeters long. They weren't big tunas. They were just this, in a small little bag, like this. Why does this matter? Because a kid's packed lunch fed 5,000 men, possibly 20,000 people. I mean, the mass does not do it. But what we must note is Jesus didn't start with something impressive. He started with something surrendered. He started with something utterly inadequate, but it was surrendered. Now, we know something happened, right? But there wasn't a swoosh and a whoosh and a cloud of smoke, and all of a sudden there was a mountain of bread and eskies were filled with all these fishes. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. Nowhere is that read. Is that written? Nowhere did I read it. But what is important to note is when what we have is surrendered to Jesus, little becomes much in His hands. When what we have is presented to Jesus, little becomes much in His hands. How much are we entrusting to Him in this, which is our lives? Heaven moves in response to surrender. Now, I had a light bulb moment. I had an aha moment, which really blew me away. Are you ready for it? Yeah. All right. The miracle wasn't multiplication. What? Hang in there. The miracle wasn't multiplication. The miracle was release. The miracle wasn't multiplication. The miracle was release. You see, nothing multiplied until somebody let go. Let's go back to scripture. Follow me. There was a young lad with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. He released it to the disciples, into the hands of the disciples. The disciples released it into the hands of Jesus. It says there, Jesus took the loaves. Jesus released it into the hands of the Father when it says, when He had given thanks. Then Jesus released it into the hands of the disciples. It says there, He distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples released it to the men, in brackets, women and children. And it says there, and the disciples to those sitting down as much as they wanted. The miracle was found in the release. Are you seeing what I'm seeing here? As long as the disciples kept releasing, distributing, releasing, heaven kept moving. When there was release on earth, there was provision from heaven. 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, ate as much as they wanted, not because of what was in the disciples' hands, but because what was being released, what was being released. I mean, think about it. I didn't share this in the first service, but think about it. How many disciples were there? How much of this fish or these fish, how much did each one of them get? Let's say there were 12. Divide this into 12. So even before they started handing it out, the miracle had already happened. Miracles started happening from the time the young boy released, the lad released it. I think the Lord's asking us into a season of releasing. Releasing. I'm not just talking monetary here, I'm talking everything. Releasing. So as we release, miracles can happen. As we release, heaven comes down and moves. As we release, we see heaven invade earth. And all of a sudden, we have testimonies like we have. Come on, church. You see, what remained in the boy's hand, what this that was in this bag, would have fed one young lad. But what entered into the hands of Jesus fed a multitude. Little becomes much in the hands of Jesus. Every opportunity to give is an opportunity to trust. Every opportunity to release something into the hands of Jesus carries the potential to release heaven's purpose here on earth. One act of obedience, church, one act of obedience can touch a family. One act of obedience can transform a community. One act of obedience can reach a nation and impact generations that are yet to be born. One act of obedience. One act of obedience. Never underestimate what God can do with what you release into His hands. You have to release. It's the releasing. Never underestimate what he can do with that. Can I share another story? Also biblical. It's tucked away in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. It's about a widow. She finds herself in a desperate situation. Her husband, a faithful servant of God, has died, leaving her with a mountain of debt. The creditors are coming. They are threatening to get her two boys and take them into slavery to pay back for what she owes. She's out of options. She hasn't got family. She's got no savings. She's got no resources. So she comes to the prophet Elisha, and she says to him, hey, this is where I'm at. And Elisha asks this strange question. He says, what do you have in your house? Look at how she answers. Your servant has nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil. Has nothing except. I have nothing of significance in my house except a small, insignificant jar of oil. How many times don't I hear that amongst the believers? I haven't got much to give. I don't know what I can give. But. No. You got to get this today. God often starts there with the but. God often starts there with the except a small. God starts not with an abundance, not with plenty, not with more than enough. He starts with an except a small. He goes, that's all I need. That's all I need. I just need two fish. And I'll feed the multitudes. Just a small. Release it to me. Elisha tells her, go throughout the village, borrow all the empty jars you can. Not a few, as many as what you can. She goes, she gathers all these jars and she begins to pour, and I quote, from her small jar of olive oil. And something miraculous happens in that moment. There's a release that happens from that small jar of oil. And the oil keeps on flowing. One jar is full. Two jars are full. Then another, then another, then another, then another. It's like Matthew. The more, what Matthew said, they're feeding the multitude. And the more they're releasing, the more it's just, there's just more and there's just more and just more. And then in 2 Kings 4:6, she asks for another from her son. And he says, there is not another vessel. And the oil stops. The oil didn't stop being released because God ran out. The They all stopped because there was no longer anything being presented to receive what was being released. If we just grasp that. You see, the jars, take note, the jars did not create the miracle. They created room for the release of the miracle. The loaves didn't produce the miracle. They were surrendered. They were released for the miracle to take place. And throughout Scripture, we see God chooses to work through what is released to Him. I believe strongly, even in this day, God is still looking for empty vessels to fill. I believe today that God is still looking for open hands. I don't have much, God, except, but I give you the except. And God says, that's all I need. Your miracle, your breakthrough is on its way. The team can join me, that'll be great. You see, when we give, heaven moves through what we release into Jesus' hands. And guess what happens? Lives are touched and changed throughout the earth for all eternity. Wow. We are privileged to have what we have. Let's go back to last week's message. If you weren't here, please listen to last week's message. Taught out of Revelation 7:9, where John sees every tribe, every tongue, every nation standing before the throne. Here's a question. How did they get there? Let me answer that. Some prayed, someone prayed, and someone gave. Someone released. Question, is that someone you? Is that someone me? Is that someone New Me East? Is that the New Me East family? Because church, I want us to be encouraged that when we give, heaven does not see numbers on a spreadsheet. When we give, heaven does not see bank account statement balances, zero, minus zero, or plus zero. They don't see that. When we give, heaven sees names. Heaven sees faces. Heaven sees stories. Heaven hears testimonies. You see, your giving has eternities attached to it. My giving has eternities attached to it. And one day you and I, we will stand, I believe, we will stand before the throne as part of Revelation 7:9, where every tribe, every tongue, every nation is there, and we'll be part of that. And somebody will walk up to you and say, thank you. And you may ask, oh, have I met you? Do I know you? And they will say, no. And you'll look a little bit confused. And they will say this to you, you never came to my nation. You never preached in my village. You never knew my name, but you prayed and you gave. And because you prayed and gave, somebody came. And because somebody came, I heard the gospel. And because I heard the gospel, I met Jesus. And today I stand here with you before His throne and worship. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You mean East? And anybody who hears this message, we got to realize when we give, mission moves. When we give, the gospel advances. When we give, we become partners in the Great Commission. You're a shareholder. I'm a shareholder. In what? In the gospel being spread.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.